when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. I think we did a really good job on the first hour, even though we didn't touch anyone's any item that we were supposed to cover. But that's what we do at Blood River Radio. We rock and roll with the seat of our pants. But this second hour here is unfolding like we hoped it would. We have two political prisoners on. Everybody and his mama knows that my little sister, Braveheart, Miss Braveheart Monica Schaefer, has been to serve time in a German penitentiary for speech crime and thought crime. And Brother Alfred's done the same thing. So she has a lot in common with. We have another fellow on here. His name is Kenan. He's a political prisoner. And you know what? By the grace of God, Brother Paul Fromm was able to secure this, find this man, and he's got him on. We really thank you so much for that, Paul. You're a tireless worker. So once again, just in summary, we have Kenan, Brother Kenan, who's out of a prison recently for, I guess, speech thought and crime speak and crime thought. And Sister Monica Schaefer, I'll repeat myself intentionally, she has been in the same boats. They both have a lot in common. So without further ado, I'm going to step out of the way. These three great people are going to take the rest of this second hour. So, Brother Paul, why don't you lead us off?
Well, yes, it's a real honor to have another Canadian political prisoner on tonight. He is not only a political prisoner, was recently, but he's also a heretic. And in Canada, you know, we have a state religion. It's not Christianity. It's not Islam. It's not even Native Indian paganism. It's Holocaust. And as with any country with a state religion, it's very dicey if you mock the religion. You know, it's about like saying Muhammad rides his camel backwards. Because he is on probation, we've got to be a little cautious about how we talk about what he might have said, but he was convicted of Holocaust denial. So that's saying you don't believe in the state religion. And I point out it's a religion. Any historical point claim can be discussed and debated. There's two sides. Maybe there are many sides too. You know, was General Washington a good general? You know, many people would say yes. A few might say no. Some might say so, but you can discuss it and argue it. With a religion, you can't. You either believe or you don't believe. And in Canada, well, if you don't believe, you better shut up. Or if you even have a question, you better shut up. And that means we've got a state religion, and that's really bad. Anyway, enough of an introduction. I'd like to bring... I was calling him Kenneth, but I think your real name is Kenan, right?
My actual name is Kenneth Paulin, but my media name was Kenan, and my show was Son of Enos.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Poulin from Northern Ontario, welcome to Blood River Radio, coming to you from the heart of the South in Memphis, Tennessee. Could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, for years I was in the high-rise restoration industry in Vancouver. When I turned 40, I kind of had a midlife reassessment, and I figured, do I really want to do this for when I'm 60? And I decided to go to school, and I got a scholarship and everything to study broadcast journalism. So I did. But I realized how corrupt the media industry was. This is like going back 12 years ago, it was evident that it was corrupt even back then. And I kind of went into a downward spiral after that, not realizing that, you know, the good Lord was preparing me for what was to come. So while I never worked in the actual news industry, I went through practicums and stuff like that when I was in school within it, enough to see how corrupt it was. But then I started my own show, and I had, just on my BitChute channel alone, close to 12 million views. I was also on Rumble and on Telegram, and I just produced an hour and a half, roughly, independent news program, you know, a few times a month, and that's what ended me up in jail. It's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong, especially in a country like Canada.
Do you, because it's rather dangerous in this police state to discuss the particulars of what you said, but it was generally called denying the Holocaust. How were you first made aware of a complaint? You've been broadcasting as Son of Enos for, about 18 months?
No, I was broadcasting as Son of Enos for 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, and how I became aware is they had shut down my bank account. They took my fundraising link. I didn't understand what was going on. I knew my bank card wasn't working. So I went into the closest branch to where I was staying, which is in a different city, actually. They put up a roadblock and arrested, like, they shut down the highway and arrested me right there.
Damn.
And then threw me in jail, and I'd be stay there for 6 months. As far as the particulars, I could discuss my case, obviously.
Sure.
See, like, it's not in the laws in Canada. It's not just Holocaust denial. It's even questioning it or making light, they say, of it. Or so I had done a show. And this was in response to the 2 years of genocide that has been live streaming, because the basis of this power structure seems to be the guilt complex of people from just the Holocaust. They're always the victim. Right. So I wanted to take a look at it. And on my show,
hang on just a sec. You said the 2 years of genocide. What are you referring to?
Well, the genocide in Palestine against the Palestinian people.
In Gaza, yes. Okay, got it.
Yeah, in Gaza. So, I had did a show wanting to take a closer look at the Holocaust. And I wasn't there. I don't actually know what happened. And in my show, what I had done is I had played a clip from the Auschwitz Museum that showed the... this is the room where the Jews were gassed, it alleged. And I looked at it and I said, well, those are wooden doors on hinges. How is that even possible? And then I played a clip from an executioner that was on an interview with Stu Peters. And he had said that it's, you know, what we use in the United States, because we do execute people with gas, is that we have, you know, those metal circular doors that create an airtight seal, and it's just the building was not built to purpose. So that alone was anti-Semitism. So there's your Holocaust denial that they alleged that I did. So simply asking common sense questions, you know, I didn't purport to have the answer, but it certainly doesn't seem logical that you could do that. And that was the charge of anti-Semitism. Just for that, I did 6 months in jail.
So are you saying you actually didn't talk about directly about the so-called Holocaust in World War II?
Well, I did talk about it. I asked questions about it. I'm a journalist, so what I'm doing is I was looking for answers. So my simple thing was, those are wooden doors. How can you create an airtight seal? How is that possible? You know, this doesn't pass the smell test. And therein, by saying that, that's where I guess I broke the law in Canada. You cannot even ask basic questions. Like you said, it's like a religion. So you can't even ask basic questions that reveal that what, you know, maybe what we're being told might not be what happened. You know, you can't, as a journalist, that this is like area that you can't go to. And what I was asking, you know, like, is there an official version of history that I'm compelled by law to agree to believe by force of, you know, you go to jail if you don't? And of course, they couldn't put that out to me. So
can you hold that thought? We got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back to you. Do not lose your place. We'll be right back to you as soon as this quick break. It's going to be about 2 minutes. Be right back, folks. Don't leave anywhere.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you deserve somebody. Dear Blood River Radio family, I just to say this. I can say things here in the U.S. right now, at this point in time, I don't know how much longer I can, that our Canadian brothers and sisters can't. Kenneth said that couldn't really speak a lot to the Holocaust because he was not there. I told him, well, don't feel bad, Kenneth, because no one else was there either. Because, you know, folks, it did never happen. There's tons and tons and tons of evidence to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt it didn't happen. And secondly, I'd like to make this point right here. What Kenan and Sister Monica were put in jail just for thought crime. Here we have rapists. We just covered this in the first hour. We have rapists raping 15-year-old girls and younger in broad daylight. There was two of them we highlighted on the first hour. Two fresh right off the boat, right off the rubber rafts, hadn't been in the UK probably 24 hours, and they dragged a 15-year-old girl off into the bushes and raped her. And you know what? They took them to what they call a youth facilities. They come here, blacks call them youths. We call them youths. They call them youths. They took them to a youth facility where they have video games, their own private showers, like a luxury hotel. That's what happens to them. But if you're in the UK, if you're white, and you put a post on X or Facebook or Instagram, and you just complain about these a rape and being perpetrated by a non-white, you go to friggin' jail. And the same thing's happened to Kenan. You know, there's crimes. people being murdered and raped in broad daylight, and these people are turned loose in Washington, D.C. Well, excuse me, in New York. They're getting rid of the police departments. But I just like to say, I just like to point that out, the disparity in, I mean, if you want to even call it justice, now I'm going to shut the hell up and go back to you, Kenan.
Well, it seems like the entire collective West seems to be under this spell. You know, free speech, you know, it's evaporating everywhere. Our government, what it is, it's pretty clear. During COVID, they committed some atrocious crimes against their own people. And then they went on to the war in Ukraine and laundered all this kind of money. And then now they're supporting, they're complicit in the genocide that's happening in Gaza. Now, these are very serious crimes. So the powers that should not be can't afford a counter-narrative, because they'll end up, they're worried that they'll end up on the chopping block and end up in the very same prisons that they want to send their own people to for questioning what should be self-evident, like what you're talking about, like the rape that happened in the UK. You know, like UK and Canada are really one and the same. There's a total war on free speech, a total war on the internet, because, you know, that's now the digital soapbox, right? Like that's the town square. And their ideas cannot have anybody questioning them because they don't stand up under scrutiny. Like nobody in the UK wants to be overrun and for the English to be a minority in their own country. You know, nobody there wants that. They don't have the support of the people. So all that they could do is increase their level of tyranny. But it's very clear that eventually the chickens are coming home to roost. They sent into motion many things financially that, you know, it's time to pay the piper. Like all their financial systems are crashing. Inflation's over the roof. And it's simply not going to – they made this total war on the Russian Federation, and basically they lost. Russia formed a new power bloc with BRICS. And, you know, the majority of the world sees how tyrannical the people that used to talk about, you know, democracy and human rights, how all of that was just window dressing. And now that they can see that the emperor truly does have no clothes, you know, the rest of the world is turning away from the collective West. And eventually, the societal unrest that we're seeing largely in Europe with massive protests involving tractors and all kinds of stuff is going to do like what just happened in Bulgaria, where the government had to resign because of the mass uprising and protests. You know, this is inevitable that it happens everywhere in the collective West, and I believe in the United States as well. Not, you know, the time frame that happens, I don't know, but the writing seems to be on the wall for that.
I might also add that the Canadian government was so spooked by the fact that the working Canadians got their act together and financed and organized the truckers' protest. They invoked what was essentially the old War Measures Act, something that would only be invoked, you know, if, you know, we were at war with Red China or a colossal disaster on the West Coast, you know, there's a huge earthquake and the roads were all out and blah, blah, blah. For essentially a parking problem and a protest, the government was terrified. They know how weak and discredited they are. Now, you know, it didn't come to pass a regime change, but it could have. And I'd like to get Sister Monica in on this. You know, she has been in jail, albeit in another country, and is an admirer of yours, and I believe wrote to you while when you were in prison. Monica?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Paul. And it is an absolute honor to be sharing the stage here with you, Kenneth. not really the stage, just on this. I wanted to be present with this interview with Paul and Eddie. But anyway, Yeah, first of all, thank you for what you do. Everything you've said thus far is eminently clear, makes sense. You're very articulate. I think that is why the powers that should not be, as you expressed it so well, are very afraid of you. And, you know, just a couple of things that you said, like you were talking about the specifics of the law, in that it's just a matter of even just questioning this narrative that we were fed about World War II, or minimizing the harms. It, very similar to the German, you know, paragraph 130, that's the law, that is the Holocaust denial law, although the word Holocaust never appears in the law, but that's what is known as that law, that you're not allowed to deny that certain event that they've, you know, drilled into us since we were basically wee babies. And yeah, it's interesting that these laws, they appear in many countries now, and they're all very similar. And now they're even creating, well, there's a law that's on the books, it hasn't passed yet, but with a very similar language to do with, you know, the Canadian so-called genocide, which is a fabricated myth as well, to do with the Indian residential schools. Not that I want to veer off into that subject, but this speech laws in general, or laws to enforce us to only have one narrative about history, this is bizarre. When you think about it, it has no logic to it. It makes sense to have laws which tell us, you know, you shouldn't go around murdering or raping or these kind of things, or stealing, but to make a law to enshrine history into being, that is rather bizarre just on its surface, and really should wake up anybody that still has, you know, a few brain cells left to that there's something wrong with this picture. And like you say, asking questions is dangerous. You were just asking questions about wooden doors. And I love how you express it. It is a dangerous thing to be right when the government is wrong. And with that, I'd like to pass it back to you, Kenneth.
I'd like to ask you, Kenneth, just one quick question. You did very well there, Sister Monica. You know, we mentioned, talk about the government being afraid of... Ken, why is the government so afraid to the point that they jail people for even mentioning, if you're even questioning the narrative on the so-called Holocaust? Is there any reason? If I know you're in Canada, you probably have to, you know, preface what you say. But why are they so afraid? If you can answer that, Ken.
Well, because you don't need a law to say 2 + 2 = 4. You can investigate that all you want, and you'll always come up with the same answer. You have laws like that to protect questioning of history, obviously, because, you know, there's something that they don't want you to see, I'm assuming. So why, you know, like, I think Voltaire said it, that, you know, you know you could tell who's in power by who you cannot criticize. And I think that's becoming evident and clear. Now, if you ask me, this all stems back to the very effective, honeypot operation. I think Epstein is just but one, but that's the most visible one that everyone seems to know about. Like, his ties to Israel are becoming clearer every day. And it was, clearly a blackmail operation. So how do you get these governments to turn on their people in such a way? Like, look at what happened during COVID. Like, a lot of people don't know this, but there's a coincidence. Well, not really a coincidence, I don't think. But Benjamin Netanyahu has legal problems of himself, criminal charges, and court dates in Israel. Now,
Ken, we have to go to a bottom of the hour break. Do not lose your spot, your train of thought. We have to go to a quick break. This is going to be about a 4-minute break, people, so you got plenty of time. If you want to get a cup of coffee, use the restroom, but don't be late getting back.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. Into alleged fraud involving Minnesota's Somali community.
President Donald Trump has targeted the Somalian diaspora in Minnesota with immigration enforcement actions and has made a series of disparaging comments about the community. He said that the state is, quote, a hub of fraudulent money laundering activity. The new action was prompted in part by a series of fraud cases, including a nonprofit called Feeding Our Future, accused of stealing pandemic aid meant for school meals. Bessett has pointed to a report by conservative news outlet City Journal, which claimed that taxpayer dollars from defrauded government programs flow to Al-Shabaab, an Al-Qaeda-linked militant group that controls parts of Somalia. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
As next year's midterm elections draw near, GOP strategist Aaron McGuire says it's still not clear who will win control of the House of Representatives.
We still don't know what final congressional maps are going to look like. Two, we don't know what retirements are going to look like on either side of the aisle right now when it comes to the ability to hold the House of Representatives. But I understand the American people's frustration. When Democrats shut down the government, the Senate stayed in. The Senate was doing other work in that time frame, and the House was out. I can understand how that dysfunction really upsets the American people when they feel crushed by costs.
The Justice Department is intensifying efforts to uphold election integrity by ensuring accurate and current voter rolls.
We really need to be able to compare the voter rolls. We need to be able to help these states. And the fact of life is that these secretaries of state are supposed to be doing this work themselves. Now, federal government has some resources they don't have, but in the past, the feds have either just not been interested in doing that or have charged a fairly high fees to state.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlocks mental clarity and precision, nurtures your memory, boosts your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory, mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy, give it a try. After a couple of weeks of taking Think Factor, it was a game changer for me. Look, the longer you take Think Factor, the better it works for you. If you've ever thought you want to be more clear, more focused, call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Your first bottle is just $19.95. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit relieffactor.com for Think Factor.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this is a fantastic interview we have tonight. I'd just like to say, we talked about during the break, and we're going to go back to Paul as soon as we get, as soon as I say this. It sounds like what's going on through in Canada, and Paul corrected me. I thought that Canada might have been worse than the UK, but he said this is the vice versa is the truth. But it sounds like what they're describing to me is in Canada. They're living under the old Soviet Union. I mean, we give people hell. The Soviets, what they did, these dirty, stinking communists would arrest their people just for speaking, you know, for thought crime and speech crime. And Paul said that it's even worse in the UK, but that's what they're living through. And I mean, it's out and out Bolshevism there. I mean, it's no doubt about it. Anyway, back to you, Paul.
Yeah, my position is there should be no restrictions on expressions of opinion. And we go back to the great introduction to John Diefenbaker's Bill of Rights, where he said, I'm a Canadian, I'm a proud Canadian, free to think what I want, to express myself without fear. And Canada today is so far away from that. But an incident that just came to my attention this week from Britain. 11 cops, that's 10 male, one female, broke into a woman's house in Merseyside, that's around Liverpool in England. They charged upstairs. She was in the bath. And the female cop, I guess, dragged her out. They took her out of the place in handcuffs and her, I guess, bathrobe. And all of this was because she had on the internet called an ex, I don't love her, a boyfriend, a faggot. He'd beaten her up a few times, and she mentioned to some other person on the internet that this guy is a faggot. So because she called him a faggot, it's like the goon squad arrests a woman for a comment. And when she went to court, she had to pay about £350, which would be, give or take, about $450, and give an apology to the court for calling this scumbag a faggot. I mean, that is how far Britain has fallen. And, you know, a lot of us World War II buffs get a bit of a laugh, you know, when we think the Brits often thought, well, we won World War II, we beat the Jerrys. Okay, you beat the Jerrys, and you have no freedom, and you're overrun by the Third World. Geez, how's that working for you?
But I'd like to chime in right here, right quick. Like, the difference in the UK and especially in the UK, is between them and the United States. They gave up their guns. They really did. They have no way to combat the evil there. I saw there was 200,000 people, the news said, in the streets of London protesting these rapes, trying to fight the police, trying to get justice, but they have no way to fight back. Here in the United States, though, so far, there's paraphrase or to quote the Japanese general, Admiral Yamamoto, he said that they could never invade the United States because he said that there would be a rifle behind every blade of grass. And I know y'all can't say that in Canada, but I just like to say, I think that's probably the main difference, the people in the UK and maybe the Canada, but I know in the UK they gave up their guns. And that was a fatal mistake. An armed man is a citizen. An unarmed man is just a damn subject. Go back to you, Paul.
Yeah, and they did essentially give up their weapons. In Canada, we're somewhere in between. But we still have millions of guns in Canada. And yeah, Admiral Yamamoto, who was nearly a military genius, was absolutely right. And he warned the Japanese government, if possible, avoid war with America, because they're bigger than Japan, for one thing. They have had a huge industrial base, and they're armed, and that makes a big diff. But I want to go back to something Kenneth said right at the beginning. He said, I asked him, well, how did he know when things were coming down. And he said that he was driving and he was apprehended in a roadblock. But what did you say about a dozen cops?
Yeah, they had shut down the entire highway. I was actually a passenger in my mother's vehicle, but they were shutting down the highway, and then they recognized me, I guess, you know, because of my show, and they made a beeline straight for us. There's, yeah, probably about six or seven cop cars there, and they had shut down the whole highway. It was a roadblock.
You know,
big sting operation,
when you think
just
about,
for little old me.
When you think about it, this sort of takedown would be what you might expect for a dangerous armed drug pusher or you know, a person who's committed murder and is on the run. It's absolute police state overkill. You know, when I was first becoming active as an anti-communist when Russia, when the Soviet Union was still in power, I used to think, well, you know, whatever else you might say about the Soviet Union, about communism, boy, they don't put up with crime in the streets and stuff like that. Boy, that they really, you know, you'd be off to the gulag. Well, then I read Solzhenitsyn, and Solzhenitsyn said, no, that's not true. They were quite okay with violent crime, just as long as you didn't, say, beat up a commissar or rip off the commissar's wife. But, you know, if you just mugged ordinary citizens or assaulted them or stole from them, that was okay because the communists looked upon the criminals as what they called a sympathetic class. And our elite in Canada is the same way. If you commit violence, they can't get you out of put you out on the street fast enough on bail. If you commit a thought crime, that is, you have a bad opinion, they keep you in jail. Like you know, fellow from our end of the province, Les Borey, was kept on remand for 23 months before his trial. He could not get bail for love or money, even though you know, he had no criminal record, he had a job, he had a house, and married, and all the good things. Did you try to get bail, Kenneth?
Well, this is kind of interesting. The Crown was the Crown here. That's like the prosecutor in Canada. It's called the Crown. They were absolutely rejecting any bail for me, and my surety that I had, I had met through freedom movement. All of my friends, all the people that, you know, everybody I know basically that is in my circle now are people that were involved in like the Truckers Convoy and the freedom movement. And in Canada, again, this is what they said in the House of Parliament, Hong Kong is the same as saying Heil Hitler. So he was automatically considered anti-Semitic for just having been involved in the freedom convoy. And on the day that I was supposed to show up for my bail hearing, they had lost me. I was in the CNCC, Penetang, which is, you know, a supermax prison here in Canada. And, you know, they thought I was in North Bay, I guess. And they had put somebody else up for my in-person bail hearing. And my lawyer said, well, this isn't my client. Where is my client? And they couldn't answer. They're like, I don't know where he is. So the day that I was supposed to have my bail hearing, you know, it got rescheduled. It was a couple weeks later. And by that time, I had, you know, made the decision for just to go with the path of least resistance, because I understood what they were doing. It was lawfare against me, and this whole thing would have just tried to drag it out, so I'd end up spending even more time in jail. And you know, I had hoped that I would have more support, like from people like the Stu Peters Network is kind of what I was hoping for, considering he had been, because I had the opportunity here, if I had the money to actually put the Holocaust on trial, right? But I would need to have had a good lawyer and been able to afford all of that, and I simply could not afford more than what I had. I didn't have the money to take this all the way to trial. So I ended up just pleading out because the way it works in Canada is you'll have a year and a half in jail before your trial. And yes. Yeah, so you end up this way. I was out in 6 months instead of a year and a half. You know, I understood what they were doing, and I just took the path of, that I thought would see me my freedom so I can get back to the fight for, against this totalitarianism that has gripped this country, and not just Canada, it's the entire collective West.
You've got guts, my friend. Well, people, we've got to go. We're at the bottom of the hour. This will be our last break. Second hour is almost gone. It's just gone entirely too fast. But people, when we come back, I'm going to make it a quick address plea to our police and military, and we'll go right back to Paul and Monica. Be right back, folks.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to make a plea to the police and the military of the white world in the UK and Canada and here in the United States. Dear police and military, especially the police right now, I'm going to ask you, how much longer are you going to continue to be traitors to your own people? How much longer are you going to go into the street with your stupid shields and hide behind your shields and your guns and taking offense against your unarmed brothers and sisters? How much longer are you going to beat innocent white people down just for protesting against their in the streets against their daughters and their mothers and their wives and their girlfriends being raped in broad daylight? And how much longer are you going to do that? How much longer are you going to continue to lick the boots of your Jew masters that are running this Jew world order that are just, that's setting out to exterminate the white people? My God, how much longer? I mean, is your paycheck, is your stinking paycheck for being a damn cop, is it worth turning against your own brothers and sisters? I ask you that, and I'll tell you what. I think that if you continue to do what you're doing, the hottest place in hell will be reserved for you. I'm going to shut up and go back to you, Cannon.
The motto of many police forces to serve and protect used to be a very honorable motto. Now, unfortunately, it's become to serve the attorney general and protect your pension plan. You know, the fact that police would conduct a takedown the way they did with Kennedy, it's appalling. An unarmed man, well, wouldn't it be sufficient just to knock on his front door and say, we have some business with you, rather than the goon squad or what, like that single mom in Britain who had called her ex-boyfriend or whatever a faggot, and they raid her place with 11 cops. I mean, this is just disgusting.
Well, I'm actually a little bit encouraged. I guess they're still taking their paycheck and they're still following orders. But there was a couple instances where an officer had, you know, like made private conversation with me, and they, I think a good portion of the police force actually agrees with, you know, the point of view that we've been talking about here, that they don't like having to use pronouns, and that they think this is an upside down clown world, and, you know, they're just doing their job. I'm not giving them a free pass because, you know, in the end of the day, you know, just doing my job, if you're oppressing your people, as like you said, the a special place in hell for people like that. But I think there's a lot more of them that are sympathetic. They might not share our exact views, but they certainly know that something is wrong. Something is deeply rotten at the basic functioning of the countries in the collective West. So, you know, I'm going to hold out a little hope that, you know, when that day comes, when maybe it's a civil uprising or a financial crash or whatever is going to spark the revolution, that they are not going to side with, you know, the, like you said, the Jew World Order.
I'm very heartened by what you say, and I also would hold out hope for exactly that, that when the spark is lit for whatever direction, you know, however this is going to go, like, it's not, something will happen, that there will be a spark that will unleash something. And at that point, yeah, it is very much going to be in our favor if there is a good proportion of them, like what you are indicating, that are actually quietly on our side. They aren't happy with these orders that they have, and that they will then, you know, show their true mettle and come out on the side of truth, and, you know, not be defending the clown world, the upside down clown world, the upside down criminal world, defending the criminals, basically. So just wanted to add that.
Sister Monica, I'd like to chime in just a second. We'll go back to either Paul or our precious guest. I would like to encourage people, and there is a solution. It may be nothing great, but Sister Monica pointed out to me, a friend of hers several years ago said that it's talked about the power of leafleting. I would like to encourage people to go talk one-on-one to police. I do that when I can, to Memphis Police Department people, to the Shelby County Sheriff's deputies, and I ask them questions like, will you turn your guns on people? Would you go arrest your citizens when the government says we have to turn in our handguns or our rifles, whatever? Are you going to take sides against your people when we start trying to protest violently or out of control, or just protest, you know, strenuously against this unending illegal immigration here in the country? What are you going to do? Encourage them one-on-one. Talk to them in private. I mean, if just just the power of one, the power of two, et cetera. But I think that would be a great solution. Maybe not. I may be wrong. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I agree with you. And would you, Kath, would you just explain to our audience what your parole conditions are, because they are shocking.
Oh, it's I can't participate in society. I'm not allowed to have a cell phone. I am not allowed to be online. So I guess if there's an emergency, I can't call 911. I can't apply for any government programs because they're all online. It violates basic human rights, you know, like just I can't even have a computer.
So so obviously you can't send or receive email. Yeah, and in modern society, today, if Kenneth is looking for another job, 20 years ago, he'd pick up his local paper and look at the wanted section at the back. No, that's not the way it's done today. Almost everything's online. He can't go online. I mean, this is making him a prisoner for another 2 years.
Okay, he's a non-person. They made him a non-person.
This is communism. This is it's the same crap that they pulled in the Soviet Union, but they were a little bit more primitive. They send you to Siberia. They don't even have to waste taxpayers' money putting you in jail. They essentially silence him. I suppose he could write a leaflet, or he could maybe preach in a frozen public park to nobody, but essentially made him a non-person. This is an outrage.
Only a Jew could think up of a punishment that severe. Only a Jew, God forbid. But you know what? That even it gets worse and worse with each minute in this program, which you've told us. I mean, they've got to be more petrified of you than they are getting the AIDS virus. I mean, I've never heard of any such stringent punishment. What about you, Sister Monica?
Well, I live without a cell phone, so that part. I happen to belong to the cohort of people that think that cell phones are actually quite dangerous in terms of the radiation they emit. But I'm not defending the parole conditions. Don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. But I had to say that about the cell phone, okay? So I have a landline at home. But you know, to not be able to use the internet, that is severe for sure. And I'm not sure, do you have, are they forbidding? Well, I guess the laws are so archaic here in Canada that, you know, you're not allowed to basically question anything about true history. So that applies to all of us. But do you have special parole conditions along those lines too, like about speaking about subjects matter at all, like other than what's applicable to all of us?
Well, they don't. It's probation, not parole. Parole is if you're out on bail. I've done my time, so they can't recharge me with what's already been done. But there's nothing other than keep the peace and be of good behavior. There's nothing specific. You cannot speak about certain things, you know, but they just they don't want me to be able to live. They don't want me to be able to earn a living. I can't even apply for a job today in modern world if you don't have a computer and online and stuff like that. It's just not
for
practical.
Sure.
And I had made my living on my channel. I had made
exactly.
my living producing my show. So they don't want me to practice journalism. It's not specifically written, but all of the conditions are geared as such so that I can't even practice what I went to school for, right? So it's they're trying to their best to silence me. And I'm sure they want me to disappear. And if I ever, I'm sure, get out of the public eye completely, like, we're dealing with some hardcore criminals. Who knows? You know, like, they might Charlie Kirk me.
We should point out that you were the first Canadian to be put in prison under this law, this Holocaust denial law. We didn't point that out, and I think that needs to be said.
Well, also, before we go, Kenny, if you will get information to me, we ran out of time on this hour. We'll talk about it on the next hour how we can assist you, because it sounds like you're going to be really in, needing money, needing food, needing clothing, needing shelter, et cetera, et cetera. Get that information to Monica and or Paul, and they'll get it to me, and we'll help you as much as we can. Dear Blood River Radio family, this is one of the worst horrible stories I've ever heard in my life. We've run completely out of time. We've got to transition to the third hour. Pick up Gene, the bitter ender. He reports Confederate History Hour. Thank you so much for hanging on, people. Don't go away. We'll be back in about 4 minutes with Gene, the bitter ender.